I'd like to invite you to open your Bible with me or on your device to Galatians chapter 5. As we mentioned in the video, I want you to bring your Bible with you. But even if you forget, we're going to put all the scriptures on the screen for you, and even those of you at home should be able to see them today. Well, a few months ago, we became aware of COVID-19, and soon after, things began to shut down. Life changed for many. We started to hear the first COVID-19 cases that resulted in death. And many of the things then shut down, and there were stay-at-home orders, and many things changed. Celebrations were canceled. Schools ended up being suspended or going home for online. Some people were furloughed from their jobs, some lost their jobs, there were financial difficulties, along with the health difficulties. A lot of things happened. Many things were changed for us. We started talking about the new normal that would happen, and most of all, we were concerned for people's health. Tensions began to rise, political views began to come into play, and of course, as always, social media went crazy. People around the world were divided. If you don't wear a mask, you don't care about people. While others said wearing a mask won't stop this and it caused other health issues. Vaccine is the answer. Others think it's a violation of their rights. We began to fear and talk about things that weren't even reality. Some believed their governors were being too restrictive, hurting their state. Others thought they were being too open, making it worse for them as well. Statistics were thrown around. And others say those statistics are false. Is it real news? Is it fake news? Everyone has an opinion, and there's always somebody that we can blame. We can blame the Republicans, or should we blame the Democrats? Should we blame Trump or Pelosi or Biden or Hillary? Who should we blame for what's going on? Bill Gates, Henry Kissinger, whose fault is it? It must be the end of the world. Look at all the signs. Others say it's just another terrible virus that we need to deal with. Any way that you look at it is a health crisis that's still not over and that we need to take seriously. And in the midst of this health crisis, just as states were beginning to lift some restrictions, George Floyd died in police custody on Memorial Day. Different stories emerged. But the focus very quickly became a black man died after a police officer had his knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes. Soon after, the accusations and the protests began. Some of those protests became violent. One news outlet announced at least 5 people have died in unrest over the death of Mr. Floyd. Injuries have been numerous, and millions of dollars in damage to property has occurred. And once again, social media went crazy. Black Lives Matter. No, blue lives matter. No, all lives matter. This past week, a sports broadcaster was pushed out of his job because in response to a Black Lives Matter proponent, he talked about the fact that all lives matter and his job was over. There are many kinds of emotions that come as people give their varying viewpoints. Some wanted the policeman who put his knee on this man's neck to be fired and charged with murder, and eventually he was. But someone might ask, was it soon enough? The other police officers with him were fired and eventually also charged. This has caused some to blame police officers everywhere, feeling that they're racist. Some have talked about the police officers, the white police officers who have been killed by black assailants. Some places and cities have been destroyed, businesses looted, and the National Guard called in. Is it real news? Is it fake news? Where are you getting your news? People are telling others they're wrong because they're white, while others say people of color are the problem. Families are divided against other family members. Everybody thinks their opinion is correct and everybody else is wrong. Yesterday here in Medina, I participated in a unity demonstration. A black pastor in our community had reached out to the other pastors and asked us to join him for a demonstration of unity. The mayor was involved, the police chief was involved, and from everything I could tell, it seemed like a good thing to be involved in. So I was there to support that pastor, that church, to support the mayor and the police chief. There was a handful of people from our church that were also there. And it was great. It was a very Christ-centered demonstration as the worship team from Second Baptist sang, led in worship, as Pastor Ruffin spoke, and we also heard from the mayor. And as we walked for a little while, all in unity for those black lives that are threatened and being lost, and to have unity for everyone here. So there's arguments certainly involved now concerning the protests and marches, what sometimes has been a result of them. Some say if you protest, you're unruly, you're causing more trouble. Some say if you don't protest, then you don't care about black lives or about human rights. Then you throw politics into this, and you add fuel to the fire, and there's far worse explosions. So have you been frustrated through all of this? I know I have. You're listening to people, very outspoken. They think they have definitive answers, and they're casting blame on other people. Few are willing to sit down and talk, to listen, to show concern for one another. I've been including some biblical principles on how to deal with crisis in a way that honors God. But after finishing our journey through the Gospel of John and doing a standalone message last Sunday on remembering Jesus, God has led me to address these issues today. The title of our message is Character in Crisis. There are two general issues of crisis on my heart this morning, as well as a specific example of each. There's the health crisis, in particular COVID-19, and there's the social crisis, in particular racism. Both of these issues are front and center in our lives today. We cannot just ignore them. And we should also not just jump on the bandwagon and use these crises as opportunities to push our own agenda, a political agenda, or continue to polarize people or bring division. We're not going to be able to bring exhaustive cover to these topics today. And I'm sure some of you are already exhausted about hearing about these, or at least arguing about these issues. So I want us to focus on one passage of Scripture here in Galatians chapter 5. To hear from God and to try to consider, are there some character qualities that remain, some principles that remain, regardless of what the crisis is, and regardless of what other people are doing? What should the people of God do? What is to be our response? And that's what we want to do this morning. No doubt you've heard people use Scripture or parts of Scripture to be able to prove their point, but we also want to make sure we don't just use Scripture out of context to say whatever we want it to say. We want to take a look at this passage of Scripture this morning in context to be able to see how we can respond to these particular health and social issues. So I'm going to ask you, since you and I, all of us, have our own prejudices, since all of us tend to look at life a certain way and have a hard time taking it all in and listening and having a heart of concern, I'm going to ask you to try to set aside that viewpoint this morning and join me in looking at God's word and really answering the question, how should we as Christ followers respond? All right, even if you don't have something to write on or with this morning, the outline, really, the discussion questions are on a Facebook page and on the website, and I encourage you to look at that after the message today for personal and group application. Let's pray together before we jump into God's word. Father, I'm so grateful that we have your word to give us some direction in days like today. Father, we're concerned about these health and social issues. We know that once these issues seem resolved for some people, there will be other issues that jump up as well. So, Father, help us right now as we look at your word, that your spirit would help us to understand it and how to apply it so we can be your people in today's world, regardless of what the crisis may be. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's begin by looking at our two main verses under consideration today. That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. This list is a 9-part list. It's not exhaustive, by the way, but it's supposed to be indicative of someone who is a follower of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit lives in us, this is supposed to be the fruit, the result of having the Holy Spirit live inside of us. So we're going to take a look a little bit at the context here before we get into the details of this list. So come back with me in Galatians 5 to verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. When we're walking contrary to the Holy Spirit, these are the things that show up in our lives. Now, you might be a little concerned with that last phrase there: those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That does not mean that when you fail and sin and do something on that list, as we all have, that you lose your salvation. What it means is that if you are a follower of Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life is not to look like this. This is not the way the believers are to live. And you may have noticed some of the things here fit our crisis today: hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, right? That's the things we've seen. Some of us have felt those things. No matter what we may say to try to justify these kinds of actions and responses in crisis, none of them are honoring to God or a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Take a look at verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So this is on the other side in context of this list of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a continual dying to ourselves and living in step, walking with the Spirit. You will see this kind of fruit. All right, so let's begin with the first one listed in verse 22. Love is sacrificial, selfless, and Christ-like. There are different Greek words for love, but here in verse 22, the word is agape. It's that kind of selfless, sacrificial, Christ-like love that we are to demonstrate. Living in this kind of love is a result of the Holy Spirit living in us. Now, we typically have no problem showing love to our spouses, to our family members, to our friends, to people who go to our church, to people who hold the same opinion as we do. But what about those who don't? What about those who consider us to be an enemy, or we consider them to be an enemy? Well, what did Jesus say? What's his example of this kind of love? Matthew 5, 43 to 46 says this: "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get?" So with all of this said, what might Spirit-empowered love look like in the midst of COVID-19? We should show love to everyone, regardless of their response to the crisis. We would talk with love, even in disagreement, about government officials, health professionals, and others who hold a different opinion. We would sacrifice ourselves for those who wear masks and those who don't. We would find a way to help those who are in a health crisis right now. We would risk our own benefit, if needed, to sacrifice for others. Our words would be words of love and concern for everyone involved. In a social crisis like racism, how might the Spirit-empowered love look like? We would show true concern for the family of George Floyd and mourn his death, as well as others who have died in ways that are not just. We would show true concern for police officers involved and not just group all police officers into the actions of a few. We would not blame whites for crimes against blacks or blame blacks for crimes against anyone. We would pray that justice would be done and yet show love to those, even when it seems just, and those who suffer when they did not deserve it. We forgive those who have personally hurt us or our loved ones, even in the midst of racism. Our talk about all races should be filled with words of love. Jesus' words on the cross should be our words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They thought they knew, as everyone who shows racism thinks, but they don't. And let's be careful of calling people racist or calling them out because they don't respond the way we would like them to respond. Speak words of love. And when there are tough, difficult words that must be said, say them in love for the good of the other person. Now, we're spending a little more time on this foundational aspect of love, of the fruit of the Spirit. Come back to verse 13, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, we hear a lot today about our constitutional rights, but usually those statements are followed with words of disrespect and even hatred toward others. Notice that God's word tells us we're free in Christ, but not to use that freedom for ourselves. Instead, even at times to set aside that freedom to be able to be concerned and show love to others. The law is summed up in this one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. And you may know when Jesus said neighbor, he meant anyone that comes into your path. And that includes people who do not love you in return. And what happens if we don't? We devour, we bite and devour one another. And it doesn't take long on social media to see that that's exactly what's happening. What does it look like for you to show love like Jesus during a health crisis like COVID-19 or a social crisis like racism? Let's move to the next one in verse 22. Joy is the strong, uplifting, positive attitude that can see God's blessings from an eternal perspective, regardless of the circumstances. Joy differs from happiness in several ways. It does not depend on what's going on around you. You can have this kind of joy even in COVID-19, even surrounded by racism. How can we do that? Well, let's look at Christ first. Hebrews 12:2 says this, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Nothing is more excruciating than what Jesus went through. The mocking, the trials, the false accusations, the denial of who he was, the religious leaders, what they said to him, and then the beatings, the crown of thorns, and the excruciating Roman crucifixion. No one else has suffered like Jesus, and he's the only one that's completely innocent. And yet he suffered it because of the joy that was set before him. Because he knew why he was doing it. He was doing it for you and me. And he knew what was about to come once this suffering was over. And that's how we can suffer as well. You see, joy is not laughing necessarily through these crises. But it's to know that the work of the Spirit is in us so that we can have this kind of attitude. So what might joy look like in the midst of COVID-19? We can smile, even when there's lots of reasons to frown. Although we want everyone to be healthy and have the virus to leave, we will talk about eternal health when physical health is not present. We will be grateful for those first responders and healthcare professionals who are risking their health for ours. Our youth ministry recently wrote about 50 letters of encouragement and thank yous to surrounding first responders. We can endure the pain that others experience, including the annoyances and limitations that this pandemic brings, with great hope. We see beyond the health and financial destruction to know that God is up to something good for his glory. So we respond with joy. We are so grateful when someone is cured or when someone goes to heaven. How might this Christ-like joy look in the midst of a social crisis such as racism? Someone can take my physical life or the life of someone else, but they cannot touch our eternal life. So I mourn, and yet I'm also joyful. Someone can throw things at me, destroy my business, but not without God's permission, and he will restore as he chooses to for his glory. I can be joyful and thankful for the thousands of police officers who obey the law and do protect and serve us with all they have. I can be joyful and celebrate that Jesus took down the walls of division between races through his son, and that he himself reached out to others that people thought he should hate. My joy teaches me that no one can determine my attitude and no one can make me a racist, regardless of their comparisons, assumptions, and lies. It's my choice to be joyful, and no one can take that away unless I allow it. What does it look like for you to be joyful in a health or social crisis? Let's continue on in verse 22. Peace is the overwhelming comfort of heart that restores relationships and brings calm during life's storms. It's interesting that one of the titles Jesus was given in Isaiah 9:6 is the Prince of Peace. Besides being a common greeting back in Jesus' day, peace is used in three major ways in Scripture. It's used for what we have with God through Jesus once we place our faith and trust in him alone. For example, Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." There's also the peace we have with one another where there may be conflict, and that typically takes hard work. Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." And the third way peace comes into play is that we can have it no matter what circumstances we are facing. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So what might peace look like in the midst of COVID-19? I move toward those with whom I disagree, and I seek peace with all. I'm not full of fear or anxiety about my health or others. People do not understand why I'm not panicking like everyone else. It's not because I don't care about my health or others. It is because in the end, it is out of my control and directly in God's. My temporal, physical health is in God's hands, even with my appropriate precautions, and my eternal health is looking great. God can heal everyone right now, but if he doesn't, I have peace because I fully trust him to do what is best for his kingdom and our spiritual growth. And what might spirit-empowered peace look like in a social issue such as racism? I don't have all the facts. I don't know people's hearts. Therefore, I do not need to make any judgments or worry that they will somehow fool God. I'm at peace knowing that if true and complete justice does not happen in our lifetime, it will take place once death comes, and it will take place for everyone. If I'm falsely accused of something that includes racism, I'm comforted to know that God knows the truth, and it will not be worse than what Jesus endured. I will seek to help bring peace and reconciliation in any way where I can have a positive effect. I will begin with my family, my friends, my neighbors, my acquaintances, and anyone that God brings into my path. I will participate in peaceful demonstrations, as I did yesterday, when the attitude of those leading it seemed to honor God. Its purpose fits God's truth. I will be meeting this Wednesday with other pastors to continue the discussion of how to promote peace with the issue of racism. What does it look like for you to be at peace in times of crisis like COVID-19, like racism? Let's continue on our list here. Fruit of the Spirit in verse 22. Forbearance is the patience to wait as long as needed for anyone or anything with confidence that God's will is being accomplished. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Again, if you're trying to write this down and we're going too fast here or at home, remember that these are all on the Facebook page and website. 1 Timothy 1:16. "But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. The reason we can show patience with anyone, regardless of how hard it is because we fully realize how patient God has been with us. Realize God's patience to you fully, and then you have patience for anyone. He continues to remain patient with us as well as we struggle with how to respond to these crises. What might patience look like in the midst of a health crisis like COVID-19? We do what we can, but we wait patiently for physical healing or for God to take us home. We are patient with government and school officials, with others in leadership to restore things back to where we continue on with some things that we enjoyed before. We wait for those who have the facts to figure things out and for those who are not being truthful to be found out if and when God decides. We patiently listen to people who have differing opinions about the health crisis. We can make the best of the situation as long as it lasts. And what might spirit-empowered patience look like in the midst of social issues, such as racism? Instead of jumping to conclusions, we wait until the facts come out. We don't respond impulsively with words or actions that will only make things worse. We patiently listen to and discuss this volatile issue with others. We take the time to understand its history and how it is playing out today. We understand that wiping out racism is a lifelong journey, so we take next steps toward it today. What does it look like for you to be patient in the midst of crises such as COVID-19 or racism? Let's continue here in verse 22. With kindness. Kindness is that tender concern for others that is demonstrated in our words and actions. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7 says this, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Nothing is more kind than the kindness of God to us expressed through Jesus. So he is our example of how to be kind in moments of crisis. What might Christ-like kindness look like in the midst of a health crisis, such as COVID-19? Talking to those who are struggling with words of genuine concern. Letting someone get in front of you in line or finding a way to help that person. Maybe they're struggling, something they need pushed or carried or that's dropped. How can you show kindness to them? Talking with kindness to and about those who are making difficult political decisions, government, business, schools, offering masks, sanitizer, tissues, and other things to those who are in need. What might spirit-empowered kindness look like in the midst of a social issue, such as racism? Do acts of kindness toward other people of color and to all of those who are in need. Send thank you notes to first responders. Financially support Christian groups that are fighting racism and caring for those who are in need. When someone shouts or accuses or baits you into an argument on racism, respond with kindness. What does it look like for you to be kind in the midst of crises such as COVID-19 or racism? Let's continue in verse 22. Goodness. Goodness is doing the right thing that is in the best interest of others. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So, what might goodness look like in the midst of a health crisis, such as COVID-19? Give financially to Christian organizations that could help with medical supplies. Share the good news of Jesus with others who are in need. Consider your words and actions so that you are doing what is right in each circumstance during the crisis. Ask people what you can do to help and find a way to do it. If you have the ability to impact policies that will help in a health crisis, then get involved. Do whatever you can to the best of your ability. And what might spirit-empowered goodness look like in a social issue, such as racism? If you're a witness to racism, do everything you can under the law to make it right and hold people accountable. Step up for someone who is the victim of racism or who is falsely accused of being racist. Support businesses and people who have lost financially or have had damage done because of racism's impact. Support law enforcement that is doing good in tense situations of race. Denounce racism of every kind, as well as revengeful and violent responses to racism. What does it look like for you to show goodness, to do what is right in the midst of a health or social crisis? Continue. The last one here in verse 22 is faithfulness. Faithfulness is the unwavering commitment to living for God and living out his truth. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Any discussion or application of faithfulness must begin with the faithfulness of God himself. He is completely faithful. He's faithful to us. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to himself and his own purposes. And so then we show faithfulness to him as we are faithful in responding to others. So, what might faithfulness look like in the midst of a health issue like COVID-19? Despite health issues, I continue to believe the truth about God's sovereignty and about his healing power, encouraging those in a health crisis to trust in him. Holding on to my beliefs, regardless of the pressure to give in to conspiracy theories or to start trusting in myself. To keep doing what is in the best interest of others during a health crisis, even when others might give up or stop helping. Obey the rulers God has put over me. Obey the laws that have been put in place, unless they violate the word of God. And what might spirit-empowered faithfulness look like in the midst of a social crisis, such as racism? Keep loving people of all colors, despite things that may be said against you or pressures that might be put on you to act or think differently. Stay alongside others for the long term who have been negatively impacted by racism. Stand alongside those in law enforcement who are obeying the law and carrying it out regardless of the accusations or assumptions of others. Stay the course. Fight racism wherever you find it. Love all people like Jesus. What does it look like for you to be faithful, to show the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, in the midst of a health crisis or social crisis? Well, there's a couple more, and we find those in verse 23. Gentleness is the humble response to others, not demanding my own rights. Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Gentleness. What does spirit-empowered gentleness look like in a health crisis, such as COVID-19? I'm discussing this tense issue in a gentle way rather than in a harsh way. I do not need to defend myself if my views are misrepresented. I treat others with a gentle spirit. I truly want them to be healthy and to get better. I admit I don't know everything. I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to learn. And what might spirit-empowered gentleness look like in a social crisis, such as racism? I have compassion for those who have broken the law, regardless of who they are. I will discuss the issue of racism, seeking to learn and be involved in productive dialogue. I demonstrate concern and compassion for those who have been wrongly treated, wrongly accused, wrongly judged. As I help others or discuss their situation, I remember that outside of God's grace, the same things could happen to me. So what does it look like for you to be gentle in the midst of crises such as health, COVID-19, social, racism? And finally, in verse 23, self-control. Self-control is the discipline to do what is needed to honor God. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, "And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things." One of the greatest examples of self-control is with an athlete, especially a world-class athlete. They deny themselves. They have discipline in what they eat, in their sleep patterns, in their workout patterns. They go through all kinds of things to discipline their body so that they will be the athletes that they can be. Even those of us who are not world-class athletes, this idea of self-discipline, things that that we do so that we can honor God, is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And certainly more important than any athletics or any other thing you may be disciplined for is spiritual growth and discipleship. So what might self-control, spirit-empowered self-control, look like in the midst of a health crisis such as COVID-19? I would deny myself maybe some things that might cause health issues for myself or others. I would deny myself some activities that might make other people susceptible to sickness. I would control my urge to fight with others about this issue, including on social media. I would discipline myself to think about what I know to be true and not just to jump to my own conclusions. What might spirit-empowered self-control look like in the midst of social issues, such as racism? I will control my tongue when I want to say something that I shouldn't. When I get angry at racism, I will control my urges for revenge. I will control my emotions when unjustly accused of racism. I will demonstrate self-control by not neglecting the issue or claiming it doesn't exist, but instead getting involved in the mess and the suffering. What does it look like for you to demonstrate self-control in the midst of a health or social crisis? I'm going to ask Jason to come up to prepare to lead us in our closing song. Before we do that, as you can see, there are no easy answers. The application of the fruit of the Spirit, it may look different for different people in these issues, but the principles are the same. This is about a lifestyle of living out these things so they become our character. A couple more references I'd like to give you. First is Colossians 3:12. It says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Do you notice something familiar about that list? Some of these are the fruit of the Spirit. And I love this idea of clothe yourself. In other words, just like your clothing, where people look at you and they see your clothing, that these qualities are a part of your life at all times. And when you fail, as I often fail in these things, you quickly confess. And you once again start living in that character because of the Spirit that is in your life. And this brings us back to where we started in Galatians 5 with the issue of love. That first one on the list, the fruit of the Spirit is love. A great way for us to close this morning, I believe, is with 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter. It lists what love is, and as you look at this list, and maybe you get a chance to look at it more in more detail later, notice that this list also includes some of these things that are a fruit of the Spirit that's intertwined with love and intertwined with these other parts of the fruit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. You're probably not going to find that kind of love typically on social media and with a lot of the crisis going on today, but you can find it in God's word and you can find it in believers who are living out the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, the discussion questions are there on Facebook and they're there on the website, church website for you. Please take some time this week and think of your particular application to God's word today.